If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, starting in verse 17 this morning as we continue in our study of this great letter, this messy church, this story of our hero, Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17, Paul writes, "Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all of the churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek the removal of the marks of circumcision. Was any of the one at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a bondservant when called? Do not be concerned about it. But if you gain your freedom, avail yourselves of the opportunity. For he who was called in the Lord as a bondservant is freedom of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a bondservant of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God." I want to take a detour real quick. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, Paul wrote this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." To be content. Laura and I went to a movie with the kids, the movie called Risen, this week on Monday. And I got to tell you, it's a pretty good movie. I would recommend anybody going to that movie. There were moments that I was in tears. Spoiler alert, Jesus rises from the dead. So sorry already. There was a man named Claudius. And again, I'm not spoiling this. You still go. But there was a man named Claudius. He's one of these military Roman leaders. And this man was not a believer in Jesus Christ. And he was seeking contentment. And he was talking to Pontius Pilate. And he said, "For me, contentment will be when I get retired, when I have this farm, when I have cattle, I have my wife, I have my kids. Then I will have peace. That is what I seek." What does it mean to be content? What happens when you're not? Look at Psalm 73 with me as I look at what David wrote in regards to a lack of contentment. Starting in Psalm 73, verses 2 through 5. "But as for me, my feet almost stumbled. My steps had already nearly slipped. For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of wicked people. For they have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind." Verse 13 and 14. All in vain I have kept my heart clean. Do you hear this arrogancy? Listen, I'm being good for no reason. I've washed my hands of innocence. For all the day long I have been stricken and rebuked every morning. And then we have a big but in verse 16. But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task until I went to the sanctuary of God, to a place like this, a place where believers come together and find where their true rest is. He continues on in verse 24 and 26 as I conclude this psalm, and I would encourage you to read it all. But listen to him as he's seeking contentment. You guide me with your counsel. He's talking to the Lord. And afterwards, you will receive glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is my strength and my heart and my portion forever. This is contentment. Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:6, godliness with contentment is great gain. This word contentment, though it's not used in these verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 17, verse 24, or chapter 7, verses 17 through 24, contentment is all over these verses. The word contentment means to be satisfied, to be truly full. As Paul starts this chapter, or this verse in 17 through 24, it looks like he's doing a detour. We just started talking about marriage, started with sex, then we went into the relationship and how we'd honor people and how God calls us to stay in situations and to be a witness to people and to be sanctified by their circumstances. And then it seems like Paul goes on this little squirrel trail, starts talking about circumcision and uncircumcision. Sounds painful to me. Talking about slavery and non-slavery. What is Paul doing here? Listen, I think what Paul is doing here is he's saying, really, the success for a godly marriage, the success for a single person is found in being content. Found being content, being satisfied right where God has you. In your marriage, in your singleness, in your job, wherever God has you, He wants you content. Now, does that mean you can't search for a job? No. What he's saying is contentment is found in Christ, and we'll get to that. So how do we learn godly contentment? I think Paul tells us in verses 17 through 24 as I walk through those now. The first thing that we need to learn to be content, the first thing is to keep going where God has you. You want to learn contentment? God wants you to keep going where He has you. Look at verse 17 and 18 with me again. Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all of the churches. Listen, this wasn't just something he was telling the Corinthians. This was any believer in Jesus Christ needed to learn to be content. And it meant to keep going where God has you. In verse 18, was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Listen, Paul is using a figurative example here. Circumcision, uncircumcision. There were Jews who became believers that wanted to reverse the circumcision. Now, I'm not going to describe that to you. There were Gentiles who became believers, and to be more like the Jews, they wanted to be circumcised. Again, not going to explain that to you. Paul is using figurative language to describe where you are at. Keep going. You don't have to change. God very well may want you there. Look at verse 20 with me. Each one should remain in the condition in which he is called. Look at verse 24 with me. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God. You want to learn contentment this morning? You want to know what it really means to be satisfied? Keep going where God has you. Keep going. This is a call from God. The first call that God had you was at your salvation. See, the word call used 8 times in 8 verses literally means to summon you, to invite you. Jesus invited you. The Father drew you at salvation. We see this call found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Verses 26 and 31. Again, going with this call where God has you. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that it is written, let those who boast in the Lord. Jesus called you right where you were at when you were saved. You didn't have to change. God changes you. He called you in your circumstances. He led you to a saving faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, because of our sin. He has called you in salvation. Now He is calling you to keep going. Right where you're at. You want to learn contentment? Understand your call of salvation leads to your call of where you're at. God may not change your job. God may not change your relationship. God may not change your circumstances, but you have been called to learn contentment where you are at. When Jesus saved you, Paul is saying He's not necessarily going to move you. Keep going where He has you. In my personal devotions this week, God reminded me of Joseph. If you know the story of Joseph in Genesis chapter 45, and yes, I'm behind in my one-year Bible plan, so get off my back. So I'm in Genesis chapter 45. It's specifically where Joseph has now been in Egypt and is seeing his brothers come for food. If you know the story, I would encourage you, study Genesis 45 and on in Joseph's life. But Joseph was now leader in Egypt, and his brothers were coming and wanting to get food. And Joseph could have very easily, I mean, he's been in jail, he's been beaten. I mean, there's so many bad things that have happened to Joseph. He could easily take it out on his brothers, and he starts to. I mean, he plants some gold in their sacks, and I mean, he's just setting them up. He is going to go after them. We read in Genesis chapter 45, verses 5 and 8, Joseph says these things. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves. He's talking to his brothers. He says, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. He's learning something. Joseph is learning something. He says, for God sent me. God sent me to where I was supposed to be. Yes, he became a rich ruler in Egypt, but I could tell you he went through years of distress, years of punishment, undue punishment. Potiphar's wife, Pharaoh's wife, Potiphar. No, Potiphar's wife. Hello, I just read it. He didn't sleep with her, so he got thrown in jail. The chef and the person who drinks the wine for the king were in there, and he explains to them and tells them about their dreams, and they're supposed to leave and tell him that he's the one that interpreted the dream, and they leave him in there some more. Not alone, his own brothers were going to kill him. But Joseph says, God sent me here. And in the end of Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, he says this. He says, and as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. When we keep going where God has us, we learn that our satisfaction comes from Christ alone. Joseph learned it. Paul learned it. This was a rule he had for all of the churches, not just Corinth. Every believer in Christ needs to learn contentment, godly contentment. And it starts with staying right where you're at. For some of you, right where you're at in your marriage, right where you're at in maybe your job, right where you're at in your circumstances, God wants you to keep going in Christ. The second thing that I see, if you want to learn contentment, not only do you keep going, but you keep following God's commands. Look at verse 19 with me again. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Listen to me, this is important. You can keep going in your circumstances. You can keep going in your circumstances, but you do not learn true contentment unless you're doing God's commands through that process. Here's what I mean. If you're saying, I'll learn contentment, I'll stay in my situation, but I'll be a complete punk during it. Yeah, I'm going to learn contentment. My wife is this, my husband is this, but I'm going to be really mean to them. Yeah, I'll keep going, but I'm not going to listen to what God has to say. Paul says real contentment is not only keep going, but keep following God's commands when things get tough. God doesn't tell us we can be hearers only. God tells us we must be doers of the Word of God. The only way you become a doer, the only way you become a hearer, is actually pick this thing up and start reading it. It's hard to know what God wants us to do if we don't read about what He wants us to do. And Jesus will help us. Because if you're a follower of Christ, He gives you the Holy Spirit to teach you, to train you, to instruct you. And by God's grace, He's only given us 35,000 plus verses to learn. It could have been a lot bigger book. That's what John said. You want to learn contentment. Not only do you keep going in your circumstance, but you keep following God's commands. Look what Jesus said in John 14, as no doubt these disciples were going to learn all about what it meant to suffer, because Jesus was about ready to leave. He was about to be crucified. And in Jesus' last discourse in John 14, he said this. Jesus said to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come to Him, and we will make our home with Him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Listen, you want to learn contentment? You learn to follow God's word. You learn to follow God's commands. That is how we will learn godly contentment, by being obedient to God's word. This is a choice, isn't it? Believer in Christ, is this not your choice every morning? Yes, you can stay in the circumstance you're in, but the question will be, for true contentment where you're at, will you follow God's commands? Or will you ask the world for its advice on how to handle your circumstance? Will you find somebody who will just tell you what you want to hear? I can promise you, if you are a true follower of Jesus Christ, you will find no satisfaction in not obeying God's commands. I'm not saying it won't be hard. It's hard. I struggle. You struggle. See, the issue here is not perfection. Understand that. Jesus is not talking about perfection in John 14. What he's saying is, when you mess up, when you sin because you're not following me, what shows genuine love is that you follow my commandments, and my commandments is for you to repent. How quickly will we repent when we mess up? Because we're going to mess up. Can I get a big amen for that? God's desire is for you to find contentment where you're at by doing God's commands. Then and only then will you find true contentment. You know, I've shared numerous stories about my job at Wells Fargo and how God was continually teaching me how much lack of satisfaction I had completely in Him and my desire to have complete satisfaction in a change in circumstances. I remember sitting in Omaha and during the process of which God was calling me into ministry, having just an awesome God moment where even my boss said, you could go and we will support you and we'll provide a job in Des Moines. And I remember just thinking, you know, like, I can't believe what you're doing, God. This is crazy. You're providing me a job. I can go to seminary. I mean, this is just awesome. So I went to seminary and I'm working downstairs in the basement. And then in the mornings and afternoons, I'm going to seminary. Things are rocking. And then one morning I wake up and I have a letter, an email from my boss saying that you have been financially flexed. For those of you who don't know what that means, it means you're fired. Trying to figure out new ways in which to tell you you're gone. And I remember going upstairs in tears because I had 3 kids at the time. Thinking, wait a second, Lord. You told me you were going to give me a job. You told me I could do both. And in tears, I'm like, honey, I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, this was the plan. God's messing it up. My wife gave me great advice. You know what she said? Go talk to your pastor. So I called my pastor and met with him, and he said, Greg, you got to learn contentment. If God is calling you into the ministry, you will learn contentment. You will learn what it means to suffer. You will learn what it means not to have, so that you can teach people that Christ is enough. I still want to learn that lesson. Don't you? You want contentment, godly contentment, keep going where God has you. But as you're going, keep following God's commands. And then finally, keep trusting God's freedom. that he has for you. Look at verses 22 and 23 with me. For he who has called, who was called in the Lord as a bondservant is a freed man of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a bondservant of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. Not only do you keep going, not only do you keep following, but you keep trusting God's promises for you. You keep trusting the freedom that God has given you. You are free from not trusting your circumstances anymore. Amen? You are free from not trusting whatever has to happen in your life to give you joy. The amount of money in your bank account, the sweet, cushy job, the great husband and spouse relationship. If you're single, having a boyfriend. If you're single, having a girlfriend. Whatever it takes, you need your circumstances to give you joy. You are free from that because we have Christ. If you truly know Christ, you are free. You are free. Paul says it again in Galatians 5:1. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not be submit again to a yoke of slavery. We don't have to go back to what the world tells us will give us satisfaction. We know, don't we? We know. When we were first called, when God first summoned us, when he first invited us to understand that very gospel which saves, we put our trust in what Jesus did and we were full. I didn't need anything else. So why go back to thinking I do? Why go back to thinking I need more than Jesus? True contentment is following where God has you. It's trusting, it's believing that he is absolutely in control. Listen, I know that this is a daily struggle. Right? It's a daily struggle. Trust God. Trust Jesus. He showed you on the cross, didn't he? Didn't he show you that his circumstances did not steal his joy? Did Jesus not show us that he set his plan to honor the Father and he had great joy? Jesus gave us the example. Listen, this is an impossible, impossible, impossible task if you're not in Christ. Because listen, apart from Christ's work, we can't do this. This is of God's grace and the Holy Spirit's leading. We cannot keep going in our circumstances. We cannot follow God's commands, and we cannot trust if Jesus is not the center of your life. It's an impossible task. Do you know him? Are you completely satisfied in what Jesus has done for you? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is enough. It's enough. Do you believe that? Individual here that is still trusting in their good works, still trusting in their parents' salvation, still trusting in something other than Jesus' finished work on the cross, you will never be satisfied. You have a God-shaped hole that needs to be filled by Jesus Christ. Will you truly submit to his work for you? His death, his burial, his resurrection for you. Our sin has separated us from him, and he built the bridge back. Do you believe that? Because if you do, you're full. You need nothing else. So don't let the world tell you you do. Are you satisfied? Are you content? If you feel like you're in jail, in your home, if you feel like you're in jail, in your job, or in life in general, you just feel like, I'm in jail. You learn contentment like Joseph and Paul did. Remember I read that verse in Philippians chapter 4? That is during a bout where Paul is spending an awful lot of time in jail. Listen to the verses again as I read the full paragraph of those contexts, because some people take the very last verse of this and make it something that it isn't. He says this, "Now I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Apart from understanding contentment is found in Christ, that verse does not fill your void. I can do it all myself because Christ strengthens me. No. You learn that without Christ, you cannot face anything. You will never learn contentment apart from Christ. Keep going. Keep following. Keep trusting. Then and only then will we find contentment. It's found at the cross. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you. We thank you that your words speak right to our circumstances. We thankful for your word that speaks right to where we are at. We thank you, Jesus, because you are the source of our joy. And Lord, us that have put our trust in your finished work, teach us contentment. Teach us that where you have us is where you need us to be salt and light. Jesus, may you truly get the glory as you teach us about contentment. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please stand as Matt closes us in one final song.